I want to read some verses, please, in the book of Exodus, chapter 21. The singing of that last hymn confirmed which direction I should go, and I want to read a few verses in this chapter. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and she shall go out by him, he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That's all I want to read with you, and trust the Lord will bless this little reading to all our hearts. If we had read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, we would have found there that this same idea pertains to a man or a woman. I think this quite clearly has been fulfilled by the Lord himself, the devoted servant of Jehovah. Now there were three sections in the law of Moses. There was the section of the moral law, which entailed the Ten Commandments. And then we have the ceremonial law, which we find in the book of Leviticus. And in this chapter here, I believe that we have brought before us, indeed chapter 21, 22 and 23, we have brought before us another section of the law of Moses, and that is the civil law. And as we begin in chapter 21 here, that we find that Moses was given the responsibility of bringing this truth and these truths before the people of Israel. Now that must have been a tremendous responsibility as far as Moses was concerned. And it is, brethren and sisters, a tremendous responsibility for those in the assembly of God's people to bring before the saints of God their responsibilities, as well as the responsibility of those who bring them before them. And so these commandments, or these judgments which are here, it was concerning a Hebrew servant. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shalt thou serve, and in the seven he shall go out free for nothing. Now there are three things I want to say about this Hebrew servant, and leave them for your careful consideration, and I trust your retention. One of the things that I noticed about this Hebrew servant was that he was bought with a price. He was bought with a price. I don't know the circumstances here, but in principle, there's been a master, and he has gone down, perhaps, to the slave market, wherever, and he has selected one of those slaves. And of course, the price of the slave, as far as the master was concerned, was 30 pieces of silver. Now the master will select that particular slave, and he'll put down the 30 pieces of silver, and he'll bring that slave out. And he'll bring him to his home. And of course, when that slave comes to the home, he becomes a bond slave of the master. And of course, he is there for a number of years, for an allotted time. 6 years. Now when he serves that master 6 years, he has an option. He can go out free. That is one way that he can take. Or he can serve his master forever. And we're told here that if the master has given him a wife and sons and daughters, then he'll have to go out alone. Now if he's going to serve his master, he'll have to be taken to the door or to the doorpost. And his ears shall be bored through with an awl. And that will be an outward sign that not only has this servant or this slave, bond slave, has he served for 6 years, but because he loves his master and has been bought by him, he's going to serve him forever. Now the Lord himself was the true Hebrew servant. He was the devoted servant of Jehovah. He served the law. He fulfilled the law. And he made it honorable. Oh, sure, it's true. From the 40th Psalm, he came in by himself. A body hast thou prepared me. Now he has the option. He can go out by himself. But in John chapter 4, he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so he's not going to go out alone. He's going to die alone. But there's going to be a tremendous harvest. And you know, some of that harvest is seen here this morning. Every true child of God, both brother and sister, is part of that great harvest. Thank God today for one who didn't go out alone, but because of his love and his obedience to the Father and to the Father's will, he laid down his life upon the cross. Now how does that affect me? And I'm hoping that you'll be asking the question, how does it affect me? How does it affect you? Well, isn't it true, my dear child of God, that you're just like this, and you and me are just like these slaves, with no hope? As far as the slaves were concerned, possibly the only year of release was a year of jubilee. The 7 years, the seven Sabbaths that were given to us later on in the book of Leviticus. And likely only one year of jubilee in the life of an individual. But you and I were left in this old world of slavery and sin and servants to Satan and servants to self. But what has happened is this. There has come one into this world, and he has selected us. And may we say, he has asked the price. What price must be paid to buy a soul? To buy a precious soul from slavery and sin and degradation. What price? 30 pieces of silver? Oh no. No, no. That's not the price for a soul. The Lord Jesus said to not only a company of people, but the disciples were there on that occasion. He says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lose his own life? The price, brethren and sisters, let me reiterate in your mind again this morning. The price that was paid was not paid in any precious metal of earth. It was paid in precious drops of blood. Paid by the Lord himself. Were we not singing that in our last hymn concerning redemption? And that's the price that has been paid by the Lord Himself for you and for me. That's been a tremendous price. Tremendous price to God. Shall I say it reverently? God emptied heaven when His Son came down. Tremendous price for the Savior to lay down His life and go into the darkness of Calvary alone in order that you and I might be bought. Now that's the price that has been paid. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in chapter 6, he'll remind them of this same truth. And this is the truth that I like to underscore in the mind of every believer, and especially the young. Says Paul to the saints of God at Corinth, he says, ye are not your own. Have we got that? Ye are not your own. Ye have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So when I stand behind this desk this morning, and every believer sits on the benches today, we are not our own. We belong to the one who bought us. That is a tremendous thing, isn't it? That we belong to Christ this morning. And all that we have is His. I don't know whether you sing it here or not, but we sing back home the words of a hymn, "Not what I have, mine own I'll call. I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all are His. And His forever." Can I ask this? Is my time His? Is my time His? What do I do with my time? 24 hours every day? 7 days a week? 365 days every year. What do I do with it? You'll allow me to ask you this. What do you do with it? Could I drop this just at the moment as I pass? Take time for the assembly of God. Take time for the things of God, the assembly of God. Take time for the breaking of bread meeting. Take time for the gospel meeting. Take time for the Bible reading. Take time for the prayer meeting. And my dear child of God, if we don't take time for the things of God, we'll be the eternal loser. We shall lose out eternally. It's not my things come first. It's not my hobbies. Not my hours at the seaside. Not my holidays. It's the Lord comes first. Oh, could I encourage the young this morning? Try and steer your little bark for that which is heavenly and holy and of God. And you'll have God's blessing. You know, there's a little verse in 1 Samuel 2 and 30. And here's what God says. Them that honor me, I will honor. So this man was bought with a price. But then he was faced with a choice. He was faced with a choice. He has done his 6 years, served now his master for 6 years. And I'm sure during those 6 years he was very appreciative of the master ever bringing him out of the slave market. And brethren and sisters, I hope the day will never come when we won't bow and bend our knees to give thanks to God for saving us and for Calvary and the sufferings of the Savior, it will keep our hearts soft and it will keep our souls warm. But when 6 years were over, this man had a choice to make. And he had the option of going out free. No one could have said anything to him. Because he very well could have said, "Well, look, I have served my 6 years. I have done all that was expected of me. I have served 6 years." But then, I think, if I had been in his shoes or sandals, I would have thought something like this. "Well, here's a master that has bought me. And after all, if the master hadn't bought me, if this person hadn't bought me and paid the price for me, I would have still been there. I maybe died down in the slave market. And I really think that the best thing for me to do is to serve him." That would be common sense, wouldn't it? It would be a very ungrateful act. I hope you're listening. It would be a very ungrateful act for this man to have been bought out of the slave market, out of slavery, and serve for 6 years, and then go and live the rest of his life for himself. Isn't that right? What was the option? To serve him forever. Dear brethren and sisters, you and I have been bought with a price. Thank God we know that we'll never ever be lost. We'll never ever be under the judgment of God. But what choice have we made in life? What choice have we made for the days ahead? We have options. I can live my life to please myself, or I can live my life to please Christ. To please the one that bought me. I wonder, have we come to that crossroads yet? Saul of Tarsus came to it very early in his Christian experience. For said he that day, "What wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Dear saint of God, I trust that in your lifetime that you'll have come to the crossroads of life. I wouldn't like to be in the shoes of any Christian that has never come to the crossroads of their Christian life. I wouldn't, honestly. But come to the crossroads of life and say, "Will I take this way? Will I live for myself? Or will I live for Christ?" Listen to the language of Romans 12 and 1, and I finished. "Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service." I trust that this little section of the Word of God will come home to your heart this morning, as it has come home to mine, and appreciate that I have been bought. I've been brought out of the slave market. I've been faced with a choice. I trust we shall be constrained by a love. The love of Christ, says Paul, constraineth us. Leaves me no choice. There's no way out, says Paul. It leaves me no choice. The love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. May the Lord bless these few remarks to all our hearts. For his name's sake.